I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
The 2.1 million people trapped in the war zone, that is Gaza, are facing yet another killer on top of bombs and bullets: starvation. The large proportion of a population of Gaza is starving. I don't know what you would call it other than mass starvation. And it's man-made.
Man-made mass starvation. The World Health Organization and more than 100 humanitarian groups are sounding the alarm for Gaza. Will the world act? We'll go to Oxfam in Gaza City for the latest. Then, countries have a legal duty to limit emissions, and high emitters may be liable for reparations. That's the ruling from the International Court of Justice. We'll speak with the Minister of Climate Change from the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu that brought the case to the court.
For the first time in history, the ICJ has spoken directly about the biggest threat facing humanity, which is climate change. And I want to note that the decision was unanimous. So let this be the moment when we see a change and the world turns its face towards climate justice. And this legal clarity provides us with the moral courage to take this forward.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The World Health Organization's warning Gaza is suffering from man-made mass starvation caused by Israel's blockade. The WHO's Director General, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, spoke Wednesday.
As you know, mass starvation means starvation of a large proportion of a population. And a large proportion of a population of Gaza is starving. I don't know what you would call it other than mass starvation. And it's man-made. And that's very clear. And this is because of blockade. And I have said it in my statement, more than 80 days of blockade straight. And then, of course, there is opening now, but it's not enough. It's just a trickle, and people are starving.
Health officials in Gaza say at least 113 Palestinians have starved to death, including 45 over the past 4 days. Gaza officials say a half million bags of flour are needed each week to, quote, avoid a comprehensive humanitarian collapse, unquote. Doctors Without Borders Save the Children in Oxfam issued a statement saying their staff and the people they serve in Gaza are, quote, wasting away. The BBC, Associated Press, Reuters, and Agence France have called on Israel to allow journalists in and out of Gaza. In a statement, the news outlet said, quote, "We are desperately concerned for our journalists in Gaza who are increasingly unable to feed themselves and their families. For many months, these independent journalists have been the world's eyes and ears on the ground in Gaza. They are now facing the same dire circumstances as those they are covering," unquote. Doctors and medical staff in Gaza told The Guardian that the lack of food has left them weak and depleted their physical health, making it difficult to provide urgent medical care for their suffering patients. In Khan Yunis, one mother, Naja Babah, talked about the plight of her malnourished daughter.
"Since I delivered her, she has been small and she doesn't grow up. Her condition gets worse in the hospital, and every time I go home, I find her becoming more and more weak. Her nerves are weak and she doesn't sit properly. Babies like her in her age of 11 months should sit up straight. She should be 11 or 10 kilograms minimum. My daughter can't sit straight or play with her siblings. She stays lying on her back, and that's all."
Israel's Knesset has overwhelmingly approved a non-binding motion to annex the occupied West Bank. The Palestinian Authority condemned the move. This is Ahmad Al-Dik, the political advisor of the Palestinian Minister for Foreign Affairs.
The Israeli government is waging a daily war against the possibility of establishing a Palestinian state. For us, this is another face of what is happening in the Gaza Strip, a war of extermination and displacement.
The vote came as Israeli troops raided multiple areas across the West Bank. Israeli forces killed two Palestinian teenagers and arrested at least 25 people. The International Court of Justice ruled Wednesday states have an obligation to cut greenhouse gas emissions to protect Earth's climate, and that failing to do so may be a violation of international law. The court also found that a healthy and sustainable environment is a precondition for the enjoyment of rights enshrined in human rights treaties, including the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Climate campaigners welcomed Wednesday's ruling as an historic victory. This is Vishal Prashad, an organizer with the group Pacific Island Students Fighting Climate Change.
For small island states, communities in the Pacific, and for young people and for future generations, this opinion is a lifeline and an opportunity to protect all that we hold dear and all that we love. This ruling is also a testament to the resolve of people everywhere. Those at the front lines who chose not to allow the decisions of a minority of countries to dictate the future of the global majority. Instead, this advisory opinion today provides us a foundation to build a better, sustainable, and more equitable future for all of us.
We'll have more on the World Court's historic ruling later in the broadcast. The Trump administration drafted a plan to strip the Environmental Protection Agency of the power to combat the climate crisis. The draft EPA rule change rescinds a 2009 declaration known as the endangerment finding that allows the EPA to regulate dangerous greenhouse gas pollution under the Clean Air Act. The Wall Street Journal revealed the Justice Department informed President Trump back in May that his name appears several times in documents related to Jeffrey Epstein, the dead serial sex trafficker who was a longtime friend of Trump's. The news broke as Trump faces mounting pressure from both Republicans and Democrats to disclose more information on Epstein. On Wednesday, a House Oversight Committee panel voted to subpoena the Justice Department for the Epstein files. Three Republicans voted alongside five Democrats. The committee also voted to subpoena Epstein's former associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, who's serving a 20-year sentence for conspiring with Epstein to sexually abuse girls. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche is reportedly meeting with Maxwell today in prison. He is the former private attorney for President Trump. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Florida denied a Trump administration request to unseal grand jury transcripts from a probe into Epstein. Columbia University has agreed to pay more than $200 million in settlement to the Trump administration, which accused the university of failing to protect Jewish students during campus protests against Israel's assault on Gaza. Columbia will also pay $21 million to settle investigations brought by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission by agreeing to end the consideration of race in admissions and hiring. The settlements will restore hundreds of millions of dollars worth of canceled or frozen grants from the National Institutes of Health and the Department of Health and Human Services. As part of the deal, Columbia commits to appointing a senior provost to oversee the Middle Eastern Studies Department, will further crack down on campus protests, and will appoint three dozen new security officers with arrest powers. The settlement was announced a day after Columbia informed nearly 80 students they'd been suspended for 1 to 3 years or expelled for participating in campus anti-war protests. On Tuesday, one of the suspended students spoke to Democracy Now! They requested anonymity out of fear of doxing and further retaliation.
While the sanctions came suddenly, the results were frankly not a surprise. After nearly 2 years of organizing under a fascist university, wholly supporting and funding the genocide of the Palestinian people, we are really under no illusions about Columbia's intentions or function as a killing machine in Harlem and Palestine. There is no honor in being part of Columbia's genocidal mission, and I am not and will not ever be ashamed for being suspended for protesting for the liberation of Palestine and the liberation of us all.
Meanwhile, The Guardian reports the Harvard Educational Review abruptly canceled a planned special issue on Palestine in June, shocking authors and editors alike, who accused the journal's publisher of making a Palestine exception to academic freedom. Its cancellation came after the Trump administration froze over $2 billion in federal grants to Harvard, banned it from enrolling international students, and asked for its accreditation to be revoked after claiming Harvard is a, quote, willful participant in anti-Semitic harassment of Jewish students, faculty, and staff, unquote. The Trump administration's launched an investigation into five universities providing scholarships to undocumented immigrants enrolled in the Obama-era DACA program. The probe by the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights accuses the universities of granting, quote, exclusionary scholarships referencing foreign-born students, unquote. It targets the University of Louisville, the University of Nebraska-Omaha, the University of Miami, the University of Michigan, and Western Michigan University. The announcement came soon after the State Department said it was also investigating Harvard University's eligibility to sponsor international students and researchers. A federal appeals court in California has ruled President Trump's attempts to end birthright citizenship are unconstitutional, bringing the case closer to the U.S. Supreme Court. In the majority opinion, two judges on the Ninth Circuit wrote Trump's executive order, quote, contradicts the plain language of the 14th Amendment's grant of citizenship to all persons born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, unquote. Venezuela's announced plans to investigate several Salvadoran officials, including Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele, over the mistreatment of 252 Venezuelans who were jailed in El Salvador's Secat prison after being expelled from the United States. The Venezuelan men reported they were beaten, sexually assaulted, and tortured. On Wednesday, one of the men, Andre Hernandez, a gay makeup artist, spoke out after being reunited with his family in Venezuela after a prisoner swap.
On May 23rd, 2024, I left my house with a suitcase full of dreams, with dreams of helping my people, of helping my family. Unfortunately, that suitcase of dreams turned into a suitcase of nightmares, a nightmare that I thought would never end. But today I can say that the torture and that the nightmare are over, and I am happy again.
A federal judge in Tennessee ruled Wednesday Kilmar Abrego Garcia should be freed from criminal detention while awaiting trial on what advocates say are trumped-up federal human smuggling charges. However, Abrego Garcia will remain behind bars for at least 30 more days at the request of his lawyers, who fear the Trump administration might seek to quickly remove him from the United States once he's released. Separately, a federal judge ordered Abrego Garcia should be returned to his home state of Maryland, where he would be granted at least 3 days advance notice of any attempt to deport him again. The Trump administration's admitted it wrongfully sent him to El Salvador's notorious Secat prison in March, where his attorneys say he was brutally beaten and tortured. In other immigration news, the Trump administration's planning to spend over $1.2 billion to build a massive 5,000-bed immigration jail at the Fort Bliss Army Base in Texas. The tent facility would be the largest immigration facility in the United States. At least 12 people, including two children, have been killed in clashes along the border separating Thailand from Cambodia. In response, Thailand closed border crossings and relocated 40,000 civilians, while Cambodia downgraded its ties with Thailand. The Thai-Cambodia border has been disputed for more than a century, resulting from France's colonization of the region. The U.S. State Department is working up plans to shut down PEPFAR. That's the federal program to combat HIV in the global south. The New York Times obtained planning documents showing the State Department wants to transition countries away from U.S. assistance, in some cases within 2 years. PEPFAR is often cited as one of the most effective public health campaigns in history, saving about 26 million lives over two decades after it was created by Republican President George W. Bush. President Trump has signed a series of executive orders deregulating the artificial intelligence industry while also requiring companies develop models free of, quote, ideological dogmas such as DEI. Before signing the orders, Trump decried the, quote, woke Marxist lunacy in the AI models, unquote. The ACLU blasted the executive orders, writing, quote, President Trump's attempt to restrict state AI regulations are not only harmful, it raises serious legal questions as the president is acting beyond any statute passed by Congress, unquote. And the Supreme Court has given President Trump the green light to fire three Biden-appointed members of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. The independent federal agency establishes safety standards for products such as toys and cribs for children. In a 6-3 vote, the justices granted the Trump administration's request to block a lower court order, which would have allowed the three Democrats to remain on the commission. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. We begin today's show in Gaza, where health officials have reported two more deaths, quote, due to famine and malnutrition in the past 24 hours. They say at least 113 Palestinians have starved to death. The World Health Organization is warning Gaza is suffering from man-made mass starvation caused by Israel's blockade. The WHO's director, General Tedros Ghebreyesus, spoke on Wednesday.
As you know, mass starvation means starvation of a large proportion of a population. And a large proportion of a population of Gaza is starving. I don't know what you would call it other than mass starvation. And it's man-made. And that's very clear. And this is because of blockade. And I have said it in my statement, more than 80 days of blockade straight. And then, of course, there is opening now. But it's not enough. It's just a trickle. And people are starving.
At this point, Gaza officials say 500,000 bags of flour are needed each week to, quote, avoid a comprehensive humanitarian collapse. Doctors Without Borders, Save the Children, and Oxfam, along with over 100 other aid agencies, issued a statement saying their staff and the people they serve in Gaza were, quote, wasting away. Doctors and medical staff in Gaza told The Guardian that the lack of food has left them too weak and depleted their physical health, making it difficult to provide urgent medical care for their suffering patients. In Khan Yunis, one mother, Naja Barbakh, talked about the plight of her malnourished daughter.
Since I delivered her, she has been small and she doesn't grow up. Her condition gets worse in the hospital, and every time I go home, I find her becoming more and more weak. Her nerves are weak and she doesn't sit properly. Babies like her in her age of 11 months should sit up straight. She should be 11 or 10 kilograms minimum. My daughter can't sit straight or play with her siblings. She stays lying on her back, and that's all.
This comes as Israeli President Isaac Herzog visited soldiers in Gaza on Wednesday to show support and said intensive negotiations for a ceasefire are underway.
We owe you our thanks. You are holding the line for us here. I would say for an entire country. A small number of people are carrying this immense, tremendous campaign.
For more, we go to Gaza City, where we're joined by Mahmoud Alsaka, Oxfam's Emergency Food Security and Livelihoods Lead in Gaza. Welcome to Democracy Now! You are right there in Gaza City. Can you describe what's happening on the ground? The UN's World Food Program said earlier this week nearly a third of Gaza's population was not eating for several days at a time.
Yeah. Thank you, dear, for having me again in this show. In fact, it's become not easy even for us to describe the situation on the ground that we are all living. We are seeing this starvation is widespread nowadays and increasingly widespread. And we are seeing that the human deaths become an absolute. And we are seeing that more than 100 people have lost their lives until now because of that. Unfortunately, this happening in front of all the world, while the world, all the world are watching this heartbreaking and without having a concrete action. And this is really harmful and also confused us as a people who are living here and working there. And how all this happening in front of the world and without having a concrete actions. We were buzzed in the bus. We are saying that the vulnerable groups in the Gaza are threatened by malnutrition and starvation. But nowadays we are talking about the whole populations are suffering from starvation and also diseases. We have just released a report that showed a lot of people and how the Gazan people are facing multiple kind of disease, mainly waterborne diseases. And this kind of diseases could be preventable and treated easily if we have our supplies and the medical supplies in. This is the situation on the ground, to be honest, is unbearable. And it's not easy even for us to describe what's happening and what is astonishing us and also confusing us again. How is all this happening without having an real and concrete actions? We are in 2025. And we are seeing the scenes on the TV shows that people are starving to death on a daily basis. And we are expecting the worst is coming. And we still lacking this concrete actions and decisive action from the people who have this pressure on Israel in that regard. It's shameful that Israel has been allowed to besiege Gaza all this period of time, even before the last 5 months. So that's the reality on the ground.
Mahmoud, as you pointed out, now everyone working in Gaza is impacted, including medical personnel, journalists, and of course, people working at Oxfam and other aid agencies operating in Gaza. There are reports of medical staff fainting in operating rooms during surgeries. There have been statements, your statement, the Oxfam statement that was issued along with over 100 other aid agencies, has said that with supplies now totally depleted, humanitarian organizations are witnessing their own colleagues and partners waste away before their eyes. One agency representative quoted in the letter says, in the statement, each morning the same question echoes around Gaza. Will I eat today? So, Mahmoud, if you could talk about your own experience, the experience of your colleagues at Oxfam and their families.
To be honest, in that situation, we are seeing ourselves and our colleagues on a daily basis becoming more weak and weak. And we, to be honest, we are more, let's say, privileged that we still have our work in that regard. But as you already mentioned, we have a depleted market. Even if you have money, it's not easy for you to find something to eat. So this is the question and the uncertainty on a daily basis for each of the people here in Gaza about are they are going to eat today or not. And it's become frustrating and become really harmful for us. Even we are supposed to help the people, and we have, you know, it's compounded. Even you can imagine for us, we are facing and enduring that right now. You can imagine the vulnerable groups who are what they are facing right now. It's compounded suffering for them. We are talking about the elderly people, the women, and the children in that regard. So this is the issue. And the issue that we have released this joint statement, that we have our supplies outside Gaza. We have thousands of tons of supplies that could resolve this issue. But we are not allowed even to get it in and to support the people and to fulfill our mandate in supporting the people who are in desperate need. And in the same times, we are seeing massacres on a daily basis at the distribution point for this militarized mechanisms, and the people are losing their lives. More than 1,000 people are losing their lives in this distribution points, and other thousands of people have been injured in that regard. The solution is clear and straightforward. If we are allowed to work as we used to work even during the war, in supporting the people and supporting ourselves and our colleagues in maintaining our daily lives, I think they are at least needs this opportunity to rebuild and to recover from all this what's happening. And this is possible in case of releasing all this shameful and illegal besiege and blockade.
Have you lost weight, Mahmoud?
Sorry?
Have you lost weight?
Yeah, myself, I think at least I have lost about 12 to 15 kilograms during the last at least 5 months. But you know, I'm even in a better case than many other people in our community, in our that we are observing and dealing with on a daily basis. The situation is more worse than the worst that I'm describing the situation in.
I wanted to continue reading from that letter of the 100 humanitarian groups that Nermeen started. The statement also quotes an aid worker providing psychosocial support who said, quote, "Children tell their parents they want to go to heaven because at least heaven has food." And the letter ends, "States can and must save lives before there are none left to save."
You can imagine how much pressure such words could drop on their parents in that regard. And unfortunately, we have just seen some of the posts in the social media. You can imagine what the parents are writing on the social media. And they are thanking God for the loss of their children who have been killed in a certain time of the war because of the bombardment or the invasion. They are thanking God that they have lost their children to not reach to this stage while their children are asking them to feed them and they didn't have any capacity and any ways to just fulfill the needs of their children. So this is beyond description and even unimaginable, to be honest.
You know, a recent Mahmoud and Oxfam article talked also about the shortage of fuel, that Israeli authorities have denied humanitarian workers the permission to collect fuel stored in a UN warehouse inside Gaza. What's been the impact of that?
You know, it's directly impacting our two very critical sectors. We are talking about the water and sanitation and the pumping of the water, and also the health facilities and the health centers. And on a daily basis, there are a lot of statements about the dramatic situation of our healthcare centers. And this is why we are seeing now the spread of the diseases, that it's linked to the waterborne diseases. And you are talking about increase in percentages, increasing 100%, 200%, 300%, such as water diarrhea, all the bloody diarrhea and other diseases that could be prevented. In the same issue with the health facilities, and this is risking the lives of the people inside these facilities because of this lack of fuel. So it's all linked together with the complications that without having concrete action in that regard, this will continue. And unfortunately, every day without having this a ceasefire, we are more deaths are happening and more people are losing their lives. So it's not about days or months. We are talking on a daily basis. We have people losing their lives because of diseases and starvation. So I think there is no much needed action than now.
So Mahmoud, just before we end, if you could say, what do you think the prospects of a ceasefire are now? In Tel Aviv, there were protests, thousands of anti-war protesters calling for a ceasefire. So perhaps there's a change in sentiment in Israel itself. And then Trump's envoy, Steve Witkoff, Middle East envoy, is now meeting with Israeli and Qatari officials.